Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 1st of October 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll be talking with Hervig Kirschberger from MEMS and nano-related equipment supplier EVG about the nanoprinting and hot embossing equipment available from EVG. And from the world of nanotechnology, we'll hear how scientists are mimicking seashells to create plastics stronger than steel, how controversial research may be on the brink of creating artificial life, and how forests of nanotubes are helping to cool chips. These stories and many more in this edition of Azo Nano News. A group of physicists from the University of Texas at Austin in the US have found a way to slow down, stop, and explore a much wider range of atoms than ever before. Inspired by the coil gun that was developed by the university's Center for Electromechanics, the group has developed an atomic coil gun that slows and gradually stops atoms with a sequence of pulsed magnetic fields. Dr. Mark Raisin and his colleagues in Texas ultimately plan on using the gun to trap atomic hydrogen, which he said has been the Rosetta Stone of physics for many years and is the simplest and most abundant atom in the periodic table. Work on slowing and stopping atoms has been at the forefront of advancements in physics for some time. In 1997, there were three joint winners for the Nobel Prize in Physics for their combined contribution to laser cooling, a method using laser light to cool gases and keep atoms floating or captured in atom traps. By mimicking a brick-and-mortar molecular structure found in seashells, University of Michigan researchers created a composite plastic that's as strong as steel, but lighter and transparent. It's made of layers of clay nanosheets and a water-soluble polymer that shares chemistry with white glue. Engineering professor Nicholas Kotov almost dubbed it plastic steel, but the new material isn't quite stretchy enough to earn that name. Nevertheless, he says its further development could lead to lighter, stronger armor for soldiers or police and their vehicles. It could also be used in micro-electromechanical devices, microfluidics, biomedical sensors and valves and unmanned aircraft. The researchers created this new composite plastic with a machine they developed that builds materials one nanoscale layer after another. The Guardian in the UK is reporting that Craig Venter, the controversial DNA researcher involved in the race to decipher the human genetic code, has built a synthetic chromosome out of laboratory chemicals and is poised to announce the creation of the first new artificial life form on Earth. The report says that Venter's team of 20 scientists had constructed a synthetic chromosome in the laboratory from various chemicals. The chromosome they developed is 381 genes long and contains 580,000 base pairs of genetic code. It's based on the bacterium Mycoplasma genitalium, but has been reduced to the barest essentials required to sustain life. They've called the synthetic chromosome Mycoplasma Laboratorium. The next step is to take the chromosome and transplant it into a living bacterial cell, where it would take control of the cell and become a new life form. An innovative and inexpensive way of making nanomaterials on a large scale has resulted in novel forms of advanced materials that pave the way for exceptional and unexpected optical properties. The new fabrication technique, known as soft lithography, offers many significant advantages over existing techniques, including the ability to scale up the manufacturing process to produce devices in large quantities. The optical nanomaterials in this research are called plasmonic metamaterials because their unique physical properties originate from shape and structure rather than material composition only. Two examples of metamaterials in the natural world are peacock feathers and butterfly wings. Their brightly coloured patterns are due to structural variations at the hundreds of nanometers level, which causes them to absorb or reflect light. Through the development of a new nanomanufacturing technique, researchers have succeeded in making gold films with virtually infinite arrays of circular perforations, as small as 100 nanometers in diameter. Microcrystals take the form of tiny grains resembling powder, which makes them extremely difficult to study. But for the first time, researchers from the European Synchrotron Radiation Facility and the Centre National de Recherche Scientifique used X-ray diffraction at the synchrotron to determine the structure of microcrystal grains of 1 cubic micrometre. They gained a factor of 1,000 on the size of the analysable samples, opening up new research possibilities to chemists, physicists and biologists. The properties of a crystal are determined by the arrangement of its atom in space, its crystalline structure. Scientists used X-ray or neutron diffraction to study crystalline structure when the size of the crystal is more than 10 cubic micrometres. Below this limit, the solid material is considered a powder. Scientists can apply powder diffraction to analyse such a material, but this technique is not easy to exploit. Moreover, powder diffraction can only be used for materials with grain sizes of less than 3/1,000,000 of a cubic micrometre. In order to learn more about the origins of quantum dot blinking, researchers from the US Department of Energy's Argonne National Laboratory, the University of Chicago, and the California Institute of Technology have developed a method to characterize it on faster timescales than have previously been accessed. Nanocrystals of semiconductor material, also known as quantum dots, are being intensively investigated for applications such as light-emitting diodes, solid-state lighting, lasers, and solar cells. They are already being applied as fluorescent labels for biological imaging, providing several advantages over the molecular dyes typically used, including a wider range of emitting colours and much greater stability. Quantum dots have great promise as light-emitting materials because the wavelength or colour of light that the quantum dots give off can be very widely tuned simply by changing the size of the nanoparticles. If a single dot is observed under a microscope, it can be seen to randomly switch between bright and dark states. This flickering or blinking behaviour has been widely studied, and it's been found that a single dot can blink off for times that can vary between microseconds and several minutes. The causes of the blinking, however, remain the subject of intense study. Materials researchers at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, together with colleagues from IBM and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, have pushed the measurement of thin films to the edge. Literally, to produce the first data on how the edges of metallic thin films contribute to their magnetic properties. Their results may impact the design of future nanoscale electronics. While methods for measuring the magnetic properties of ferromagnetic thin films have existed for some time, there is currently no way to define those properties for the edges of the film. A research team from NIST, IBM, and MIT recently demonstrated a spectroscopic technique for measuring the magnetic properties of the edges of nickel-iron alloy thin films patterned in an array of parallel nanowires called stripes atop a silicon disk. The researchers beamed microwaves of different frequencies over the stripes and measured the magnetic resonance that resulted. Because a thin film's edge resonates differently from its centre, the researchers were able to determine which data, and subsequently which magnetic behaviours, were attributable to the edge. Engineers have shown how to grow forests of tiny cylinders called carbon nanotubes onto the surfaces of computer chips to enhance the flow of heat at a critical point where the chips connect to cooling devices called heat sinks. The carpet-like growth of nanotubes has been shown to outperform conventional thermal interface materials. Like those materials, the nanotube layer does not require elaborate cleanroom environments, representing a possible low-cost manufacturing approach to keep future chips from overheating and reducing the size of cooling systems. Researchers are trying to develop new types of thermal interface materials that conduct heat more efficiently than conventional materials, improving overall performance and helping to meet cooling needs of future chips that will produce more heat than current microprocessors. The materials, which are sandwiched between silicon chips and the metal heat sinks, fill gaps and irregularities between the chips and metal surfaces to enhance heat flow between the two. Two Baylor University researchers have developed a new mathematical algorithm that solves the linear equations of the lattice quantum chromodynamics much faster, marking the first time an effective method has been developed to overcome a problem experienced by all lattice QCD researchers. In physics, lattice QCD is a theory of quarks and gluons formulated and solved on a finite space-time lattice of points. However, the process of solving millions of linear equations is slowed due to small eigenvalues in the matrix. Eigenvalues help determine energy levels of atoms and how buildings vibrate, but they also determine how fast solution methods for linear equations converge. The algorithms created by Dr. Ron Morgan, professor of mathematics at Baylor, and Dr. Walter Wilcox, professor of physics at Baylor, essentially throw out small eigenvalues, thus speeding up the process. This week's interview is with Herwig Kirschberger from MEMS, a nano-related equipment supplier, EVG. Herwig talks about the nanoprinting and hot embossing equipment from EVG. These technologies allow hard drive manufacturers to increase drive capabilities and produce novel microelectronics. These new technologies include producing tiny, complete camera systems on a single computer chip.
Well, we started in 1997 introducing nano imprinting equipment to the market. Meanwhile, we have around 100 equipment installations that are nano imprinting related worldwide. So people are doing basically three basic approaches. So it's either imprinting at room temperature and curing via UV light. That's what we refer to as nano imprinting. Or it's an hot embossing approach, that means thermal imprinting. And a third column basically that we can offer is micro contact printing, which is basically inking a stamp with, for example, bioactive molecules and transferring them to substrates. So in the field of hot embossing, there is already a volume application out on the market. It's called discrete track recording. It's basically used by hard disk drive manufacturers to increase the storage capacity of their disks, yep. Their hard drives. So what we do is, you can see the video behind me actually, it's a double side imprint, and we're separating the magnetic tracks with a 40 nanometer deep and 40 nanometer in width imprint in order for the read-write head to still be able to get the information from the disk. So basically those guys want to increase the storage capacity while having the same infrastructure for the read-write head. Mm-hmm. And those tools usually run at the throughput of 100 to 120 wafers an hour, which is quite a lot. It's an isothermal process. So that's the main application beside microfluidic systems.
Sure.
We have a customer here, it's Minifab. They're doing a lot of those hot embossing processes for microfluidic systems, so they're using our tools here. So that's hot embossing related. Nano imprinting related is more targeting nano electronics.
Yep.
So it's still far away. Actually, it's like 5-10 years away. But sure. We have a lot of collaborations with leading institutes all over the world. But there is as well one main application that is already on the market. It's called wafer level cameras. So when you look at the mobile phone, you usually see cameras,
yeah.
One or two cameras on there, and those guys would actually like to manufacture not only the CMOS imaging sensor but also all the micro optical components on a wafer level.
Okay.
So what our tools are doing, basically they are imprinting on a wafer level micro lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And those lenses are then stapled on top of the CMOS imaging wafer. They are like 2, 3, 4 layers of micro lens wafers,
mm-hmm.
bonded together, diced, and then implemented into next generation CMOS imaging wafers.
So it's a whole camera on a chip.
It's a whole camera on a chip, yeah. So
fantastic.
all the leading guys actually are doing are researching in that field.
Sure.
So that's everything. Basically that we have for nano imprinting, but there is of course a lot of other things we're doing, especially in MEMS,
yep.
which is our core business. So we're having double cell alignment systems for lithography, we're having spray coating systems for like uniform coatings over very deep trenches.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it's used in silicon microphones to coat the membrane or a lot of stuff actually. Then another thing which is worth mentioning is wafer bonding.
Yep.
We just had a press release last week that we installed the 500th bond chamber in the market, which is a huge amount of bond chambers. And they are all used in wafer-level packaging applications, first-level packaging applications. So EVG has a very broad product portfolio. and we're doing very well. I would say MEMS and nano imprinting technology is worthless if you're not able to commercialize it. And thanks to MANCEF, which is giving a lot of contribution to that issue. And we can help those people to link you up with guys and customers out there with the infrastructure. And we would like to help you promoting your technology to the market.
Fantastic. Thanks for your time, Herwig.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Azo Nano Business News. Cambridge nanotechnology firm AcuBio has appointed business advisory firm Baker Tilly to try and save the company after it was forced into administration in September. The Cambridge University spin-out developed a portable and low-cost, rapid-response disease diagnostic device aimed at helping doctors make instant and accurate diagnoses for diseases such as malaria and meningitis, but has come into financial difficulties after having trouble finding funding for continued development of its nanotech products. The University of Delaware has won a competitive award for more than $7 million over a five-year period from the National Institute of Standards and Technology and will use it to develop the next generation of neutron scattering instrumentation through the creation of the UD Center for Neutron Science. The Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law received a $314,000 grant from the Department of Energy to anticipate and offer legal solutions for the regulation of nanotechnology. Energy is the theme of a business competition and venture forum to be held for the second year at Oak Ridge National Laboratory under a new name, Global Venture Challenge. Formerly called Nano Nexus, the event has been broadened this year to embrace a wider suite of technologies coming out of research institutions and the private marketplace. The event will be held on April 2 to 4, 2008. Oxford Instruments, the high technology tools and systems company, is pleased to announce the launch and first customer orders of its new Opal atomic layer deposition system. Following on from Oxford Instruments' successful launch of its Flexal ALD process tool in 2006, the Opal system offers a compact open loading system to complement the load-locked Flexal. Carl Zeiss SMT, a leading global provider of electron and ion beam imaging and analysis equipment, announced that Harvard University's Faculty of Arts and Sciences has selected a number of its most advanced instruments for use at the FAS Center for Nanoscale Systems. CNS is a shared-use core laboratory facility supporting a diverse community of investigators performing innovative nanoscale research. The University of Alabama and Imago Scientific Instruments announced plans to establish a new research facility for atom probe tomography. LEAP microscopy, also known as atom probe tomography, provides very high spatial resolution combined with compositional analysis and high sensitivity. It allows materials research scientists to analyze specimens in three dimensions with atomic resolution, offering key insights in how a material's atomic structure affects its mechanical and electrical properties. More than 700 of the Northwest's business elite gathered together at the IOD Northwest Director of the Year Awards, where Simon Carrington of Fairfield Scientific Limited won the coveted Institute of Directors title International Business Director of the Year. Simon's award was presented by Clive Drinkwater, Director of UKTI. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 1st of October 2007. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.